author of The Inner Circle, The Book of Fate, and seven other popular thrillers. In addition to his fiction, Brad is frequently on bestseller lists in the nonfiction category for History Decoded, in the advice category for With Heroes for My Son and Heroes for My Daughter, for children's books with I Am Amelia Earhart and I Am Abraham Lincoln, and even comic books for Justice League of America, for which he won the prestigious Eisner Award. He is also the host of Brad Meltzer's Lost History on H2 and Brad Meltzer's Decoded on the History Channel. And he's one of the co-creators of the TV show Jack and Bobby. Raised in Brooklyn and Miami, Brad is a graduate of the University of Michigan and Columbia Law School. He now calls South Florida home. Today we'll speak with Brad about his newest thriller, The President's Shadow. Welcome, Brad. It's a pleasure to have you back with us on The Book Report.
I appreciate it. Always good to be back.
The President's Shadow is book three in the Culper Ring series. For listeners who've not read the previous books, what is the Culper Ring?
Yeah, and I will say I always make sure that even if you didn't read the others, you can read this one. And it has a very simple premise, which is years ago I got a call from the Department of Homeland Security asking me to come in and brainstorm different ways that terrorists could attack the United States. And my first thought was, if they're calling me, Elaine, we've got bigger problems than anybody thinks, right? But I was honored to be part of this, what they called the Red Cell Program. But I was struck by the fact that they wanted me, a regular, ordinary person. I write fiction for a living. I write thrillers for a living. And I traced it back through history and found out it traced back to a man named George Washington, who had his own secret spy ring made up of regular, ordinary citizens. They weren't military people. They were regular people because in Washington's eyes, no one looks twice at an ordinary person. So I said to my friend in Homeland Security, wouldn't it be cool if you found out that George Washington's spy ring still existed to this very day? And he said to me, what makes you think it doesn't?
Oh.
And that's what the Culper Ring really is, and what this series is really about, is a young archivist in the National Archives, Beecher White, finds out that the president's spy ring still exists, and now he's a part of it, and he gets to fight the great fights for our country. And so each book is just a different adventure, starting with The Inner Circle, then The Fifth Assassin, and now we see The President's Shadow.
Secret societies are front and center in this book. Tell us about the Knights of the Golden Circle.
Yeah, you know, when the book opens up with a very simple premise, which is that the First Lady is in the Rose Garden of the White House, and she's doing some gardening just to clear her head. You know, she's just always stressed and always worried there. And she puts her fingers into the dirt and smells the mulch, and she feels something. And what she feels and finds as she digs it out is a severed arm. And she doesn't know how the arm got there. She doesn't know who got it past security or even the puzzle that's in the closed fist of that arm. But she wants to find out. And what it leads to is, as you said, the Knights of the Golden Circle, who are a real-life secret society that existed years ago during the Civil War, and whose real goal was simply to make sure that they had their own place to keep slavery going. They were a bunch of racists. But there are those who think that the Knights of the Golden Circle are still around, and that they actually guard the Confederate gold that went missing after the Civil War was over. And I took that real part of history and these great, you know, amazing, great story about these knights and used that as the villains for the President's Shadow.
Well, I know you do an amazing amount of research before you put pen to paper. I was really shocked to read that in the book you write that right before 9/11, before the planes flew into the World Trade Center, hundreds of Saudi families left the U.S. in the middle of the night. Is that true?
You know, this was one of those ones where the amazing thing about 9/11 is it's almost hard to find real facts anymore. But if you look, you'll see that there are families who did leave before it happened. And that is incredible to me, right? That means that someone knew and someone tipped them off and they left. And for the most part, went unpunished, you know? And I'm just staggered by that. And so you better believe I put that little detail in there as one of the motivations for one of the characters, because anyone who hears that story immediately is disgusted by it.
Tell us about Mount Weather and the State of the Union address. Does this actually happen?
This is true. This is a wild one. So this is, as you'll see in the pages of the book, and again, it's all fiction, but I fill it with real reality. And Mount Weather was this old kind of secret government location that the government stopped using because people found out about it. It's not far from Camp David, not far from in parts of Maryland, not far from the White House. And what happened after 9/11 is that the Department of Homeland Security actually started rebuilding it. And when the State of the Union happens, and some people have heard this part of the story, that all the cabinet members come to the State of the Union. But in case someone, you know, does something awful at the State of the Union, sets off a bomb or, God forbid, something terrible, they always leave one cabinet member behind. The place where they take that cabinet member recently was Mount Weather, the secret government facility. And I love that detail. And you better believe I was like, I got to put that in the book. That's just too good. And in fact, one of the things you'll see in there is we actually even show you one of the places where they take the president at one point in time. On the back of the high-level White House employees, there will be directions to Mount Weather. And I thought, again, that was also incredible. And one of the things that I made sure to do is to include that in there so people can kind of see the fun details around it.
Yeah. Did you happen to track who was missing at this year's State of the Union?
It's actually always public, but you can see very much who it is. I forgot who it was this year, but it's never, you know, that part's the easy part because you just look who's not there, and you'll sometimes hear the announcers say it, but you don't even realize what they're saying when they're saying it. But there is, you know, there's one that's left behind.
I've heard you can reveal what recent presidents carry in their pockets. What do they carry, and how in the world do you know this?
Now you're seeing my true obsession. So what happened was, one of the groups that helped me with this book was the Secret Service, and they've just been incredibly helpful as I do my research. They've helped me with, I think, half a dozen books now, and I always take their trust very seriously. And as I was touring Secret Service headquarters, two of the members of the Secret Service explained to me that Ronald Reagan used to carry a gun with him when he was president. It was a 38, and he used to hide it in his briefcase and take it on Air Force One. And I was just blown away by that, right? I mean, wait, you're telling me a sitting president is armed? I mean, that's just an unbelievable detail, one I'd never heard before. So one of the people who actually wrote me the greatest fan letter of my whole life was President George H.W. Bush, the senior, the dad. Wrote me a letter years ago and has helped me with a number of my thrillers research. I've gotten letters from Clinton also as well. But I immediately wrote to President Bush and I said, you know, I heard that President Reagan used to carry this gun with him, and I'm now looking to see what you carry with you. It was just one of those fascinating details, like what else do presidents have in their pockets? And I was able to, over the course of the research for the book, I can tell you that Bush 41 used to carry his driver's license. That was it. There was no wallet or anything else. And Clinton used to carry a billfold with just cash and credit cards, pictures of Chelsea and Hillary, and a small prayer that he used to keep in it. Bush, 43, he carried no wallet. He carried a Sharpie, and he also carried the New York Police Department badge of an officer named George Howard, who was a first responder killed in 9/11. And Obama, amazingly, also is of the no wallet theme, like his predecessor. He actually almost has like a junk drawer in his pockets, like a BlackBerry and his journal, and he doesn't have his wallet, but he carries other knickknacks like poker chips or military challenge coins and stuff that people give him.
We're speaking with Brad Meltzer on the Book Report. Fort Jefferson is a key location in the book. I've actually camped out there, but for those who are unfamiliar with it, tell us about it.
Yeah, though this was also something I didn't even think was real when someone told it to me. And when Abraham Lincoln was famously killed, there were eight people who were considered co-conspirators besides John Wilkes Booth. And four of them were actually hung in Washington. And the other four went to prison. They were supposed to go life in prison. And they all thought they were going, I think, up to Albany in New York. And they were going to come out of their jail cell and they were going to sail up to Albany. And they were woken up in the middle of the night. And they could see when they were thrown on a boat, and the boat, by the fact that they saw the land on the wrong side of the boat, they realized they weren't going north to New York, they were going south. And they went south, and I mean really south. And some people think that Key West is the southernmost tip of the United States. It's not. There's actually south west of that is a little island, as you've been there, called Fort Jefferson. And Fort Jefferson used to be this fort that was supposed to protect the southernmost parts of the United States, but when military and artillery got so aggressive and so big, they realized a fort can't stop a missile anymore. It can't stop, you know, guns and cannons like that. So it was turned into this private prison in the middle of nowhere. And you can literally sail there today. It's today a national park. You can sleep there. And obviously I changed it in the book a little bit simply because I wanted no one to be there, but I made it so there was a hurricane, and so it's all abandoned. But I love that if you go to Key West, you can take a seaplane or a boat, and you can go to what is really Abraham Lincoln's old brick fort, and it's a fortress that guards the southern tip of the United States. And it's just amazing that it's still there. You can go into the cells of Dr. Mudd and the other men who killed Abraham Lincoln, and it was really this kind of island of transformation that changed these men into something else.
All right. Well, what are you working on now?
So working on the next thriller, which is another thriller, and then what we have coming out after The President's Shadow, as you know, I've done a line of children's books as well, in addition to the thrillers. So The President's Shadow is out, you know, and but in the following month, in July, we do I Am Lucille Ball, and in September we do I Am Helen Keller. And the goal with those books is I really want to build a library of real heroes for my own kids so they would stop looking at reality TV show stars and loudmouth athletes. And so, you know, the goal is so that you can buy for your own nieces and your nephews and your kids and your grandkids these great heroes like Amelia Earhart, like Abraham Lincoln, like Rosa Parks, and in this case, Lucille Ball and Helen Keller. And so that those are the next two books that will be coming out.
And what is the age group of that reader?
You know, we get letters from everyone from newborn babies who they give the gift of a library of these books for them when they get older. But really, it's read by probably 4 and 5 year olds up until I mean, I literally just saw my 13 year old, reading the Helen Keller book because he was reading it early. He's like, I just love the details in this. So it's really kids of all ages. And, you know, the goal of it, you'll see, is it's never just about them when they're famous, it's about them when they're little. So if I tell my daughter that Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, you know, she has no context for that. But if I tell her that when Abraham Lincoln was little, he came upon a group of boys playing with turtles, there's a true story. He was 10 years old, and he loves animals, so he races over to the boys, and he sees they're not playing with the turtles. What they're doing is they're putting hot coals on the backs of the turtles. They're torturing them.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham Lincoln in that moment has to stand up to these bullies and tell them, take the coal off the turtles. And when you're, you know, 10 years old or 40 years old, sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. And that's what the books are about, is showing you moments where these heroes are just like you and your kids.
That's true. That's why it's such a great read. Thank you so much for joining us today, Brad.
Always good to be back. I appreciate it, Elaine.
Bye now.